I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that just wants to know, what have I got to do to make you love me?
Nothing,
what do
Lee.
I gotta do to make you care?
Just be yourself.
I just don't get to open with Elton John enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Surprising, because we're a gay podcast, but, you know.
I know.
Not that kind of
really
gay.
Make more of an effort. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
From the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We have 5 spots left for our Trova trip to Croatia in September. If you want to sign up, you can do that at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
We also want to remind you, in season 6, we have started releasing bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters. So if you join our Patreon at any level, you get access to all of those episodes. Our latest one came out on Fire Island. That was our 7th episode so far. We're going to have more coming up. So if you want to join, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
In a few weeks, Yellow Jackets season 2 comes out, and we are celebrating with Yellow Jackets premiere trivia. That is March 26th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us on Zoom, play some trivia, and then we will watch the season 2 premiere together. We are so excited.
In the Greater Les universe, I know you all saw that video of Jamie Lee Curtis planting a big one on Michelle Yeoh at the SAG Awards.
Amazing.
Jamie Lee.
Did you also see that Jamie Lee afterwards was like, what? I did that? Like, she's like, I blacked out. She's like, I completely.
Listen, many of us in our fever dreams would also make out with Michelle Yeoh. Like, it's a totally understandable.
She's
situation.
Like, I didn't see it until someone showed it to me. She's like, it didn't happen to me until I saw the video.
Incredible.
Crazy.
Angela Bassett did the thing. Okay, sorry. I'm here. I'm with us.
Yes. In the Greater Les universe, Zaya Wade walked her first runway show this week. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union have been so supportive of their beautiful trans daughter. And now Zaya is living her life, being a fucking model, because of course, look at her parents. And I'm just super excited to see what else she does.
And it is far better news than our next bullet point because, listen, I think many of you who listen to the show, you will know we try to keep this a positive, upbeat space, not because we do not care about many of the things going on in the world and in politics and in whatever, but just because we know that this is a place that is a
an escape
for a lot of queer people, and we try to keep it a place that is a safe, happy, positive place to come to. So with that being said, if that is where you would like to remain, please feel free to like skip ahead for a minute or so, and like, it's cool, we will catch you back in the episode. But we also feel like there are certain times where it's just necessary to also maybe speak out. And so with all of the legislation, like the drag ban that just went in Tennessee, all of the many, many pieces of anti-drag, anti-trans, anti-gay legislation, and specifically with a lot of the anti-trans legislation, things that are laws being passed designed to make states unsafe for trans kids, to make transition or appropriate medical care impossible for kids or trans people to access in many, many states in the country right now, that it is time for a lot of the queer community, and especially for a lot of the cis members of the community like us, to be vocal and to be clear about the fact that this is not okay, and that we need to step up a little bit and find ways to really help out our trans family out there. So we are aware, if there are things that we know of that people can do to help, we will try to be sharing those resources on our social media channels and things like that as well. But just, you know, we are paying attention. We know we don't always use this as a space to call this kind of stuff out, but we are calling it out because it's not good. And there's a lot of really scary stuff out there right now. So that's all, unless you want to add anything, Ellie.
No, you said it all perfectly. It is scary and horrible, and we are with you. We hope that we can be a space where you feel safe, in especially when you have a lot of places that are really going out of their way to make you feel unsafe. So I'm very sorry about that from a human being standpoint. That is what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 15 of season 6, Romancing the Stone.
Super excited. And we don't have a guest today. It's just me and Lee.
It's just us.
It's just us. Which honestly,
we love when it's I love just when us, it's though.
Just the two of us.
Oh, yeah. Hit me.
We can make it if we try. Just the two of us, you and I. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever. Show off.
I'm also like a little bit raspy, so I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I like it. It was working for me. I was digging it.
It definitely works for that R&B style.
It does. It was
but
good.
Today, we are talking about, Lee came up with this topic earlier today. So walk us through, what are we talking about today, Lee?
Yes. So here's the thing. So I read this book. I like finished it maybe like a couple weeks back. And the book is called Those Who Wait by Haley Cass. And I think a lot of people probably have read it. I mean, I don't know. You know me, I've been making the rounds of like lesbian romance novels, like just can't get enough of them.
Yes.
This one I think is pretty popular, and I wanted to talk about one thing about it that like has just been sitting in my mind, and I know you haven't read the book, so I'm just going to give you like a real quick overview of how I think it relates and why I wanted to dig into this topic, right? So you have two women, they meet on a dating app. One of them is like just recently came out and is like, I'm also into women. Like, bah, I don't know how to do this. The other one is not closeted, but she's a politician, right? Mm. And so she keeps her
private life
dalliances very private and doesn't date, like doesn't do relationships, right?
Yep.
You can see where this is heading.
Yeah.
Obviously, they do a relationship.
Weird.
They do a relationship in the way that like the politician is very like, this isn't a relationship. We're just friends with benefits and it's totally fine until, you know, kind of like things come to a head. And then, I mean, obviously it's a romance novel, like it has a happy ending. That's fine. That's not the part I want to talk about. The part I wanted to talk about is that there is this trope, right? Like, and I don't know what to call the trope necessarily, because I don't think Romancing the Stone is the right trope. But this trope of like the, I can change your mind. Like, I can make a relationship person.
Yeah, like, when, honestly, this is like, okay, this is with everything. But I think this particular topic of like, okay, you start seeing someone and they're like, I don't want a relationship. And they say, I don't want a relationship. I don't want a relationship. And you keep hearing them say that, but like,
and ignoring
completely
it.
Ignoring it.
And your brain is like, sure. So a relationship is what you're saying.
You're like, okay, so you don't want to use the word relationship, but we'll do all the activities of a relationship until you decide we are in a relationship.
Yes. And I've been thinking about it. It's been mulling, right? Like, it's been mulling in my head, like, why I was so stuck on this trope. And the reason that I think I'm so stuck on it, and the reason that I want us to talk about it, is I want to dig into, is this different than the way this trope plays out in straight media, like books, movies, whatever, or not? And if so, how is it different? Because I feel like it is, and I want to talk about it. And I also want to talk about like some of the times where I feel like it is, and some of the times where I'm like, is it actually though here? Like,
you're just,
I'm
okay,
not so
positive. You're just saying like in lesbian relationships in general, this trope, or you're saying this particular book that you read, which I haven't read, so
sure. in media in general. I mean, obviously I can talk about like some of the things in the book that I think jumped out at me or like are sticking with me, but I feel like this is, there's this trope that is present a lot that we see in a lot of media, right? And I think we've seen it a lot, especially historically in straight situations, like in straight pairings.
Yeah,
right?
Like in So Many of Our Should Have Been Gays, because those girls are gay, where they're like, well, oh, I want to I want to date you. And they're like, I don't want to date you, blah, blah, blah. But also I feel like, oh, God damn it. It's tough because I feel like that's like stereotypically like the man in a heterosexual scenario is like, oh, well, like, I don't want a relationship. And like the girl's supposed to like keep going on dates with him until he's like, oh, you know what? You're special and you are different. And I thought it,
and I thought
I didn't want a relationship, but you have convinced me that being in a relationship is worth it for you specifically.
Yes. And here's the thing. I hate that. I hate that trope. Right? Like, I don't know why I don't like it, but there are things about it, especially when it's straight couples, that I'm just like, ugh, I don't know. And like, maybe it's just the concept of like, really all that work for a man that I just like can't get behind. I don't know if that's part of it. I think that's who am I kidding? It's definitely part of it.
I mean, it's funny though, because I do feel like this plays out in real life, like in the same way that most media tropes play out in real life.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And it's funny because it has played out in my own life, which is like when I started dating Jana, I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship. But she was also like, I don't want to be in a relationship. And I think that like is a different vibe too, when you're like,
yes,
both of you are like, actually, we do not want to be in a relationship, but we really enjoy each other's company. And then you're like, okay, how do we navigate this? As opposed to like, but I had situations in the past where it would be like, I don't want to be in a relationship. And like another person kept trying to like get into a relationship with me. But I was like, I told you specifically, I do not want to be in a relationship. And then it always ended in chaos.
Yeah.
Because like the signals, I don't know, like, I also feel like this is like a situation that queer women get into a lot, because the lines are super blurry in queer relationships. It is a gross generalization, but it's fucking true. Like, I was like, I don't want a relationship, but like, I want to go on cute little dates. I'm going to take you on a nice picnic on the Charles River.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I don't want to
casual.
But I don't want to date you. But like, I think it's fun to do a cute, fun date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, okay, like the signals get a little, the signals and the wiring get crossed.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Well, and okay, so here's the problem. The problem is that I feel like a lot of times when you do this in a straight story, it's not that, right? It's a little bit more of the like, I don't want to be tied down. I'm a bad boy. I'm a, you know, like a lone wolf, like no woman can tie me down.
Yes.
And I also feel like so many times in straight examples of this. The ways in which they do get tied down, like, still feel vaguely misogynistic to me. Like,
what do you mean by, like, you're saying, like, because they're like, you made me a better man.
Well,
and so,
yes.
Like, now I'm going to be with you. Or, like, what? What do you mean by, like, the ways
what
they get
I
tied
mean
down?
Is that there's some ways, a lot of times, in which I feel like they can't get away from the, like, I still clearly only see women as objects, you mm-hmm. know? But you are a special object to me. And I'm like, that doesn't cut it for me, actually. Like,
yes.
That's not good enough, you know? But it's so hard for them to get away from it because you've created this man who is, like, women are just notches on my bedpost and I don't care about any of them. And then I either feel like they get into this, like, really gross, like, oh, but you're just too sexy for me to resist. Like, your sex appeal is so much that I can't stay away. No other woman could be enough for me after you. And I'm like, ugh. I hate it.
Well, or it leans further into the purity part of it, I feel like.
Yes.
Where they're
yes.
like, oh, well, your wife material and all those women I was sleeping with before were not wife material.
Right.
And it's
we're
like
gross used
yeah.
up. Like,
and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
does wife material even mean?
Right. So here's the thing. I hate that.
Yes.
Right.
I mean,
I
that's
it.
Valid.
But here's why I think it was sticking with me. Right. Is that when you read Those Who Wait, or when we talk about some of the other ones that we're going to talk about, I feel like there's this difference that, like, plays up exactly what you were talking about, which is that I feel like when you see this trope done in queer settings, more commonly than not, the way the trope plays out is that the character who's like, I'm a lone wolf, I'm not tied down, I don't need a relationship. And then they're like in a relationship and they're like, it's not a relationship. I just enjoy spending all of my time around them and I miss them when they're not here. And I think about
yes.
them all the time. And I just want to do really cute, sweet things for them because they said this and I know it would make them really happy. And I just want to see them be happy all the time. But like, I'm not dating them. I just want to spend every night cuddling together after we have sex because that way we can wake up together and I love waking up next to them. But like, it's not a relationship. I just saw this book and I thought of them, so I bought it for them. And you're like, okay.
Yes. It's okay.
like
it's like actually like, okay, I'm trying to be independent and not date, but then I'm like falling in love with someone rather than like
I'm falling in
yes,
love with someone.
Rather than
exactly.
like I'm trying to be independent and not date because I am a misogynistic pig.
Yes.
And you have turned
yes.
not into a misogynistic pig. Thank you.
And so here is where, like, I feel like some of the things that, like, jumped out at me is, like, what are other times that I've seen this play out? And I want to talk about some of them because they're not all the same. And some of them work for me and some of them therefore don't, right? And I think the first one I want to talk about is actually, like, it feels to me like this plays right into the, like, Santana Lopez, like, Santana and Britney's storyline, right? Of, like, I'm not dating you. I don't need to date you. I don't get tied down. Like, I can just fuck whoever I want. And like, this is my life and I can do what I want and I'm not attached. Right. And then it's like, no, actually, I like desperately need you to like function and like survive and like, let's get
yeah,
married.
Yeah.
Right.
The usual.
Like that type of thing for me. I'm like, yeah, love it. Eat that shit up. Like, give me all of that. Love it. It's great because it's great, right?
Yes. Well, it's also just like the like, but to be fair, Santana is also a little bit of that vibe.
She is a little.
Right. So it
yes.
is like, she doesn't want to be tied down because she wants to sleep with whoever she wants. So like, is that.
But she's also lying
yes.
to herself, right? Like everybody knows she's lying to herself. She's like desperately in love with Britney. She's just trying to pretend that she's
yes.
not.
And then it's like, okay, never mind. I am. Yes.
Right. And like that I can roll with that. That's good for me, right? But then I think about like what the first person who jumped to mind for me when I tried to think about like what are examples of like times where I feel like even as queer women we like still fall into this like vaguely misogynistic layer of this, and that's like,
I mean,
Shane.
Can we get through any episode talking about archetypes in the queer community without saying the word Shane? No.
Listen, the damage that Shane has done to us as a community is everlasting.
Yes.
It is. It is a gift that keeps on giving. It we will never recover. Like, we will never recover from the damage.
I also
that
feel
Shane
like, I don't know.
Done.
This is like, Shane is complex, but Shane is also like a character that is written as like sort of a man, but a queer woman, right? In terms of like stereotypes, like in terms of like, okay, Shane is very much like, I sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. And like, I do not do relationships because I don't get emotionally involved and blah, blah, blah. And it's the woman who start dating Shane. They are the ones who have to like break through Shane's emotional armor.
And, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's the same.
Okay.
I mean, it's very similar in terms of dynamics.
But here's the thing. And it is, but I also feel like maybe when I say we will never recover from the damage Shane has done to us, maybe what I mean specifically is that like,
then Shane
was
and Carmen?
There a greater betrayal than making, then yes, then yes, than making us believe that Carmen had become that person? Because this is like, this is a trope. This is a whole thing, right? That you're like, can they win their heart? And you and we all watched Shane and Carmen and we all rooted for them and it was hot as fuck and it was
true.
We just wanted to keep watching Carmen, let's be real with ourselves. And so true. And then to like that, oh, that last minute, like just knife to the gut of being like, no, actually you can't change her.
I know.
And you're like, how dare you?
To be like, fair, though.
Dare
you? Maybe it's a good point that you can't change her. Because even in freaking current Generation Q, girl cannot be changed. So, like, I also think the L word really does polyamory dirty. Does, like because I'm like, Shane is the perfect
really
character
does.
To, like, actually explore ethical non-monogamy in a healthy way. But the only thing that she does.
Shane's never done a healthy thing in her life, listen.
In her entire life, right?
In her whole
and
life.
Like we still have like people being like, oh, well now it's like, okay, now Tess has changed Shane. And it's like, no, Shane will never. Like we keep seeing these played out too. It's like, it's hard to differentiate, but I do feel like we have to also pay attention when someone keeps telling you something.
Yeah.
Right?
I
like,
mean,
that's
I agree, but like, but it's so hard to have had that moment of being like, she's going to get married. And you feel like that's the payoff, right? And you feel like it's there and you think that Carmen's earned it. And then they just rip it away and they
see,
rip it away.
I know, but see, that's the point is like when you say like Carmen has earned it, like why should we be watching these scenarios where it has to be a woman who like, earns some,
but that's what I'm saying.
Someone else's monogamy.
I hate it.
Who has said they don't want to do
it? I hate
it.
And I also think here's the thing: you would think that this would be like, oh, it's a cautionary tale. Like, listen, queer women, you can't always change her. But I don't think that's what people learned.
They did
from
not
that
take
scenario.
That away from that. No,
no.
They were
I
like,
think people watched
oh,
it and
Carmen's
were like, wow,
the
Carmen
right person.
Wasn't enough.
Yes,
but I could be the right person. And you're like,
no,
no,
that's
no,
not right.
It's not how it happens. Like, it's not it. And I don't know why. Like, there's just. There's something about it where, like, there's times where it works and then there's times where you're just like, no, you have done us a disservice. And, like, to me, Santana works for me. Shane does not, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it
well,
just doesn't.
For me, Shane doesn't work because, like I said, because Shane never learns. And also, like, they didn't actually, like, I think, not that there's, like, only a few storylines you can tell, but, like, the storylines they're telling with Shane are just, like, continuously toxic. There's no payoff.
I mean, that's
I guess the toxicity. The toxic is the toxic storylines is the payoff. But, yeah, like, I'm, like, there's opportunity here for Shane to just, like, be, like, this is me and I need to be with someone who's not – like, Shane is not monogamous, but that's, like, a whole other thing. But
yeah.
But I think also, like, we tell these stories in using the lens of monogamy as well. So it's, like,
yeah,
it's tricky when someone's, like, I don't want a relationship. And, like, really, maybe they don't want a monogamous relationship, but then they fall in love with someone. And then they're, like, okay.
But the thing is, like, there are legitimate reasons, right? So, like, in that book, having a political career that you don't want to jeopardize, like that's a legitimate reason, right? I'm also thinking like this did bring up vibes of like Stepbrol for me, right? Where like April kind of has this thing where she's like, hey, like I'm cool with like whatever it is that we're doing if it's like kind of on the DL, but like I can't be out in a relationship until I am out of my parents' house. Like this is not a safe situation for me. It's not like because I don't care about you. I just can't do this right now.
That's why the queer ones are different than the straight ones, right? Because the reasons are much more nuanced.
Yeah, the reasons are so different. The reasons are
much more like you said, like for safety or for like, I don't know, like it just is so much more like rooted in something that's not so like, I'm just a sexist pig. How many times can I say misogynistic or sexist in this episode? But like are not rooted in well, I'm a man and I want to be free. They're like, yeah, they're much more nuanced than that. They're like, I'm in love with you, but I'm suppressing my sexuality, or I'm in love with you, but like I can't come out to my family. You know, that old trope. We love that.
We do love that. Well, and so maybe this is another question. Is like, does this trope, does it teach us the right thing, or is it setting us up?
Well, I guess for like heartbreak. I guess it's like, what is it teaching us, right? Like, but I think what it does say the most is like, if you're the right person, you can change anyone. And I think that's a horrible thing for people to learn.
It's such a bad message.
Like,
it's such a bad message. It's also like, so I feel like there's something so bad about making it be about whether like you as a person are enough. Like, that's so...
Well, because it also ties like so much into your own self-esteem, right? And then so they're like, if you... I mean, this is just like society in general with dating. But like, yeah, like, if somebody rejects you, if someone does not want to be in a relationship with you, there is something inherently wrong with you because they do not want to be with you. And it's like, there's like, if we take...
Not because they're Shane and they're fucked up
it, like,
in every
has to
way
be something that you're not...
But
yes,
it's because
like,
of you. It's just that you're not enough.
And to be fair, like, the right person, quote unquote, I feel like that is a valid reason of like, you're not the right person for a relationship with someone. But when it's like, this person who like has repeatedly said, I don't want to be in a relationship. And then you watch something where like the perfect person for them comes along and changes everything. You want to be that person for somebody else who's like consistently turning you down, which is like just like so rough on your self-esteem.
I don't know because it's so hard when I'm like, there are things about this trope that like I will eat it the fuck up. Like sometimes when you do this trope well, it's so fucking good. It's so fucking good, right? Like who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love the I'm in love with you, but I'm
well,
like
there's,
trying
there's
desperately
something
to convince
about
myself
the
that I'm
uncontrollable.
Not because
like when you feel like, oh, this person is uncontrollably in love with me, right? Or you are like uncontrollably in love with someone else. It's like, there's something that like really
you can't resist.
Ego,
you're
right?
Irresistible.
Like,
yeah.
This person cannot stay away from me, right? And there's like something exciting about that. But I think there has to be more nuance to it in real life. I mean, obviously, like in media, like people are going to paint in broad strokes also, right? But like just listeners out there, if there's someone who you've been chasing for a long time, like maybe it's okay. You don't have to chase them anymore, you know?
Do you feel like there's just a like a sea of listeners
out there who are
like Lacey in the early
Not like that. But that's pretty funny. No, I even feel like you can – there's like varying degrees of what that is, right? Of like if your self-esteem does not feel good when you're with someone – I mean, yes, you need to probably work on yourself and your own self-esteem. Like, another human being should not affect your self-esteem so much. But maybe that's not a good person to be around.
Yeah. Well, what about this? I do want to talk about some of these other ones that we have down here. But I also want to ask a question first. Because given that you have already shared some of the beginning of your relationship, what would you say are the things that you would look for to try to decide, like, are you in a situation that could go the right way, or are you in a situation with where you just need to cut it and run?
I mean, I think it all just comes down to like communication consistently. I don't know. I'm just thinking about, like, particularly with me and Jana, it was like when we first started dating, we were like, neither one of us want a relationship. But then, like, every step of the way, we would just like communicate with each other to be like, okay, like, I don't really want a relationship, but I do really enjoy your company, and like, let's see where this goes. Like, and I think, like, even if you are in a relationship with someone who's like Shane, or like in a situationship, it just comes down to communication, right? Like, if you're if you want a relationship, you need to tell someone you want a relationship. I think the biggest thing is that people don't say that. Do you know what I mean? You won't know what kind of situation you're in unless you are open and honest with yourself and what you want from this.
But it's so common for people to kind of play that, like, I just won't say anything and maybe they'll, like, eventually notice. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm just going to, like, wait around. No, like, I don't know if it's, like, a sign really, but I think it's just, like, a conversation you need to have at a certain point. And, like, I can't really say what that point is. It's going to be different for everyone. But, like, I think you know. Like, if it's, like, been a few months and you're, like, okay, we're seeing each other pretty much every single day, like, have a conversation. I know there's a fear that if you have that conversation, maybe they are going to say, I don't want to have a relationship. But, like, it's better that you know that before you get too deep.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know if there's, like, signs. I can try to come up with signs. But, like, let's say signs are, like, you're constantly together. If you have multiple dates every single week, you can, like, sort of feel it. If they are still, like, if they're saying, oh, I wasn't looking for a relationship, but they're still, like, emotionally available to you when you're together. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's, like, someone who's, like, I don't want a relationship, and they're, like, completely emotionally unavailable when you're spending time with them. Like, believe that. But if they're, like, very in sync with you emotionally, like, when you are together, I think you can also feel that, you know?
I do. I get that. I'm also curious about, like, something that we haven't talked about at all that I feel like also plays into this is, does this trope do a disservice to the existence of aromantic people?
I mean, what do you mean by that?
Like, what I mean is, because, you know, like, we talk a lot, we've talked before about how sometimes there's characters where, like, we as a society, especially in our media, do not consistently, historically have a tendency to grapple with, like, people who fall outside of the expected norms of, like,
monogamy?
Yeah, like, yes, like, monogamous, like, cishet relationships. Like, right?
Centering around romance, yes. So
I feel like it's also interesting to me that, like, even when you have these, like, this archetype that is so common, this archetype of, like, I don't need a relationship, I'm a lone wolf, I don't want to be tied down. And it's, like, it's amazing to me that if you think about these characters, like, name an aromantic character.
That has actively said they're aromantic, right? They're none.
Right. Like, they almost don't exist. You know, and it's like, I'm just curious. It's interesting to me that it would be such a common archetype that we want to put out there, but that the goal every time is to change them.
Yeah. So you're saying that, like, it's like, is there a scenario where this character, the core of who they are, is aromantic? They are telling you,
is aromantic.
I do not want a relationship. I'm aromantic.
Like, I'm not interested in dating. I'm not interested in a relationship. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I want. And I just think it's fascinating that we see this so many times. Like, this plays out over and over and over again. And, like, do I think every single time that it needs to be that the end result is actually realizing, like, hey, actually, I'm really not into this. Like, I told you that, you know. But it just feels, I feel like, it again, it creates this expectation of, like, they'll always change.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too, Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Like, they'll always actually deep down want a relationship. Like, everyone deep down wants a relationship. And you're like, okay, but also some people really don't. Maybe
well,
don't.
That's my point, like, from the beginning. It's like, just stop trying to think you're going to change people. But also, I think 500 Days of Summer is a really great example of this, but, like, also annoying because she basically is like, I do not want to date. Like, the entire time she's like, I don't want to date you. And he just keeps being like, but she's going to change, blah, blah, blah. And then they break up. And the frustrating thing about it is they flipped it on its head like, oh, not with him.
It's the girl. Yeah.
But they still, she basically, they talk later in the movie and she's like, oh, yeah, I did find someone. Like, they're the right person for me. Whereas, like, I feel like I wish they had left it just like, listen to what this woman is saying. She doesn't want to date.
Well, that's something else that we haven't talked about too, because we've been focusing on this primarily from the, like, the man doesn't want to date and he's, you know, just racking up his conquests and whatever. The opposite end of this on the straight side, also, when you do the, like, I'm in love with this woman and she doesn't want to date me and I'm gonna win her over, almost always I hate it. It's gross.
It's because of the dynamics between men and women, because it's like, she said no, and you continue to pursue her. That is a non-consensual pursuit.
Yes.
And it is
so gross.
So
it's so gross every time. It's, you know what the worst thing about it is to me is, like, that specific setup, I have such a hard time watching so many movies from, like, the 80s era. Like, this happens all the time. This is so common in 80s movies to have the guy be like, to have this sort of antagonistic romantic relationship, right? Where it's like, it's a will they won't they, but like they hate each other. And it's always like, I'm gonna wear her down with persistence. And you're like, ugh. And they never make any reason. Like, there's never anything that changes on the guy's side to, like, make this woman suddenly be in love with her. It's just like, you'll make her hate her so much that she loves you. And I'm like, that is so gross. I hate it so much. And it happens so often. so often.
It is also in like those movies. Like 10 Things I Hate About You, where like she's like literally like, stay away from me, stop stalking me. And then eventually he's like, I stalked you enough that you're gonna go on a date with me. Like, that is messed up.
Yeah. I stalked you to love. That's what it is. And it's like, oh, it's so gross. It's so gross. Yeah, we haven't even touched on that one yet. It's like, oh God. I don't know why it's so common, because it's so,
it's
it
like
just
the,
skeeves me out.
It's like
every time.
I think it's like the dynamic that they like had men and women in for so long of like the pursued and the pursuer. But it's like, it's not romantic.
Yeah. It's not. And it's like, it kind of, I feel like When Harry Met Sally kind of falls into that camp for me too, you know, where it's like you watch it and you're like, is this romantic actually? Like, is it though?
It's like, we hate each other. And like, then somehow we fall in love with each other. But like, not the enemies to lovers we like.
No, not at all.
No.
Because I'm like, no. Listen, you know me in a good enemies to lovers. Like, I am here for that shit. But for some reason, the way that it's done so commonly of just like, yeah, I will wear you down to loving me by repeatedly making you hate me is just like, because like, let's talk about a good enemies to lovers for like Cacciadora to me is a good enemies to lovers example of this, where you have a similar thing, right? Like Catra not out looking for a relationship through most of the series, right?
True.
And like, sure, we've dug into in our episode, our Les Essentials on She-Ra, like we've dug into some of the toxic things about this relationship, absolutely. But I still feel like at the end, like what you end up with is a scenario where Catra's like, actually, I was just pushing away something that like I really desperately wanted this whole time. And like, it's not a secret, right?
Oh, yes. Not at all. We knew it.
And it's not like Adora wears her down by being like,
Adora's not pursuing that at all. Adora's like,
right.
It's like, I realize this about myself through my own self-discovery, not you bugging the shit out of me until I said yes.
I just have never I've watched so many movies where like that's, I just, the sudden change of like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I must kiss you. And you're like, but why?
It really,
like, but why
it's
though? Like
quite
nothing
confusing.
Changed.
It is quite confusing.
Nothing changed at all.
Yeah, this man is exactly the same as he was in the beginning. And yet you have given in. Like, it just, it sends a really bad message about consent, let's be real.
Yeah.
Really bad.
It's really bad. I'm trying to think if there's a straight example of this that like I can get behind.
So I was thinking about this. You know, like The Notebook is sort of like this. And I'm like, ah, oh, but I love The
you
Notebook.
You do love The Notebook, don't you?
But like, he's like, go on a date with me. Like, date me, date me, date me. And then he's like, he literally like is hanging off of the freaking, he's like about to harm himself if she doesn't go on a date with him and she agrees. Like, that's like, I am going to make you date me. And then they're like, this is the ultimate love story of our time.
Yeah.
There's a lot about The Notebook that's so toxic, and I eat it up. We fight. And then we kiss and we make up in the rain.
It's better. I mean, I will say it's better than like a lot of the things that we've been discussing.
Well, yes, right? Because it is like, it's a little bit also of like a class story too, where it's like, she's not going on a date with him because he's poor, not necessarily because she doesn't want it. Like, you can see that like she wants to date him.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, oh, okay, this is, you know, a little.
I'm trying to think, here's what I think I would say, because it is, it's one of the few straight rom-coms that I actually still just like unironically love. is, have you ever seen Just Like Heaven?
Yes, I actually rewatched it like a few weeks ago.
Did you?
It's with so Mark beautiful. Ruffalo. Love it.
Yeah, it's Reese Witherspoon, Mark Ruffalo. I fucking love that movie.
It's
fucking
so sweet. Love it. Yeah, it's so cute.
It's so funny. It's so good. And I feel like for me, it works because it's in the similar thing, right? It's like, it's not that, like, he doesn't want a relationship. Well, A, because she's dead, but and like a ghost, but whatever. But
that old thing.
That old thing. But also, like, primarily, he doesn't want a relationship because his wife died and he is, like, traumatized and hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and I feel like I can get behind that, right? And it's not like they go into it where she's like, I'm gonna win him over. It's just like they happen to fall in love over the course of the events of figuring out why she's a ghost.
Over the course of, like, a week.
Yeah. Well, sure. Rom-com city. But listen, like, now I want to rewatch. I haven't rewatched
it. It was
that in
really cute.
A long time. What a great fucking movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. That works for me, right? Like, that falls into a lot of the same things where it's like they're not trying to force each other on the other person. He's just like, I made you a garden because you wanted it. Like,
I know.
And you're like, right? I fucking love it. I mean, just feed me that shit all day long. Like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I can vibe on that. The like, it's like the unexpected romance of it.
Yeah.
Not the like, I'm aggressively pursuing you as you've told me not to.
Right.
It's like, oh, I met this person not looking for a relationship and I was not anticipating that this would be the thing that happened, but then I fell in love.
Yeah. But then I fell in love, right? Or it's not also the, like, what we've talked about so far, which is, like, the I'll be sexual enough that, like, you can't resist the allure of my sensuality. And, like, yeah, I don't know. I just, like, none of those work for me. Like, it's not...
Agreed.
It doesn't do it for me.
Oh, what a trope.
It's, right? It's something. It's something. Like,
I mean, there's just so much nuance of it. I think also, just, like, ugh. Lee, at some point, we really need to have an episode about monogamy. I mean, I guess we sort of...
I feel like you and I are the wrong people to have that
episode, I know,
episode,
I'm saying we
Ellie.
Need to have a guest on who can talk to us about things. Okay. But, like, because I just feel like there's so much of our media that's told through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, toxic monogamy.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
well,
obviously,
and it's,
you know?
Just, again, it's like I was thinking about it because, like, I have a friend who I think is sort of coming to terms with, like, an ace identity right now. And I was like, I want to point her towards, like, media representation of, like, what would help you, like, you know, understand that way that I think you and I both always are, like, it's so much easier sometimes to, like, understand when you can see yourself reflected back to yourself. And I was like, oh, fuck, like, is there? Oh, there's not a lot out there, you know? I'm like, when you look for Arrow Ace, like, real representation, I'm like, there's Biffle and then what else? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, not much out there. And so I feel like this, I've had this trope in my mind for a while. And then I was like, wow, this trope must suck for, like, Arrow people who are just like, wow, actually maybe they just don't want a fucking date.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
don't want that. And then also I was like, and why is it that if I try to think about how common this trope is in the, like, he's just a roguish rake who can't be tied down, like, why do I fucking hate that? But you make it queer and I'm like, yeah, give me more, like, love it so much. I don't know, I just wanted to dig in. That's
so
all.
You like Miley Cyrus can't be tamed but not a man.
I just think, listen, like, let's be real. I have been on enough of my, like, Leah and Fatten fanfic bullshit that it's like, that's like their whole thing, right? Like, that's their whole trope. It's like, Fatten's a party girl and she just wants to go out and get laid. And, like, but then they start hooking up and she's, like, totally in love, but she wants to fight. Like, it's the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same trope. And I'm like, eat that shit with a spoon. Give it to me. Just give me more.
Feed it.
Yeah,
feed
like,
it. Yep.
Feet. Yes, exactly. I'm like, just inject it straight into my veins. I'm happy, you know? But for some reason, a lot of times there's, like, straight pairings almost never works for me. And there are the shames.
You're gay, Lee. It's because you're gay.
Well, listen, you're not wrong.
I know.
Like, You're not wrong, okay? But there are some
there
times
are definitely
that it works
differences
for me. And there are queer times where I'm like, how dare you, Shane? You had Carmen, you monster, you know? So
we will never recover.
We will never I will never recover.
Yes.
Listen.
But I mean, I think we anything else we want to talk about with this trope before we go to our Q&A?
I think I don't know. I'm sure it will come up again now that we've like
now that we've really dug in.
Yeah.
Really gotten into the nitty gritty of this. Listeners, if you have any other examples, send them our way. I know there's a million. If you have any thoughts on it, shoot us an email. We love hearing about it. We've gotten a lot of messages about our Dykes and Shining Armor lately, so keep those coming.
Yeah, please send us – if you're like, oh, my God, this is this for me, like send us that because I fucking love that. That's what we need.
All right. It is time for our Q&A. Let's do it.
Q and gay.
Question number one. Have you ever tried to win someone into a relationship with you? Yes or no?
I mean, win someone? I'm going to say
okay,
no.
Okay, so I'm like, this sounds like a yes.
No. Okay. Here's the thing. I did have to like gently explain to Kelsey that we were already dating. Like, I don't know where that falls. Where does that land me on this scale? Because we were dating. She was just, like, not willing to, like, say that in so many words.
I think there's always, that's not, like, there's always a point in a relationship where you have to have a conversation of, are we dating? I don't think
that's,
like.
It literally was less of that conversation. The conversation was, like, you do know we are dating, right?
I think that's fine. I don't.
You are aware that, like, we are already dating.
Yes. But I think that's different.
But I wouldn't say she was like a lone wolf who like didn't want a relationship at the time. She was just, you know, still sort of a baby gay and coming to terms with the whole situation. Yeah.
Understandable.
I'm going to say no. I think that's a no.
I think that's a no.
Okay. Question two, Ellie. Who's your favorite lone wolf who doesn't want a date? Out of A, Santana, B, Shane, C, Charlotte Thompson, or D, April?
Is Charlotte Thompson from that book you read?
It's from the
book. Like, who's Charlotte Thompson?
I have a theory people might want to vote for Charlotte.
I'm going to go with Santana because I love that girl.
I do too, you know?
Santana. All right, question number three. What straight example of this trope works for you? A, 10 Things I Hate About You, B, 500 Days of Summer, C, Just Like Heaven, or D, When Harry Met Sally?
Listen, it's just like heaven for me.
Oh, yes.
I got to go with it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, question four. Who would you be, Ellie? The lone wolf or the wooer doing the wooing?
That's a really hard question.
Mm.
I do feel like I'm a little bit of both. It depends on the scenario, I guess. But I would lean more towards the wooer.
Really? I was so good. I was going to say lone wolf. Who did not want a relationship.
I mean, I don't, but I also am like a hopeless romantic. You know what I mean? So I'm like, it's a difficult contradiction where I'm like, I don't want a relationship, but I like doing cute things for girls. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
Where I'm just like, no,
we're big softies.
Yeah, like I'm like, oh,
I don't
really want a relationship, really, because I just want to like go on multiple cute dates. So like, I'm definitely like in a situation where like there is dating happening, I'm the person who's like planning a cute date, not like being taken out on a date. If that makes sense. So that's why I said we were. All right. Question number five. Does the winning over the person who doesn't want a relationship trope work for you? A, yes. B, no. Or C, only when they're gay?
I guess it's only when they're gay. I think that's the reality of it. I'm just not into the straight tropes. Let's be real.
That's understandable. I mean, that's.
Who wants to watch straight people fall in love, honestly? So silly.
So silly.
Who would do that?
Remember, you can also give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. And we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we especially want to shout out a listener who wrote us an email. You know how we've been saying we love getting these just really long, touching emails. So we want to shout out our listener, Antara. I hope we're pronouncing your name right. If we're not, please send us an email and let us know how to say your name. But we just wanted to thank you for this really lovely email. People, please stop apologizing for sending us these. They're like the best.
I agree. Keep sending those emails. We love to hear it. Also, very specifically, I personally loved that you recommended We Are Lady Parts. I have seen it. I haven't, but I am going to. Lee has not seen it.
Yes.
I feel like it was out a few years ago, so I feel like I told you to watch it, but it was like, you know, I tell you to watch a million things.
Listen, also a few years ago was like the height of like baby life in our household. So like,
it's... But it's on Peacock. It's basically, okay. It's about an all women's Muslim punk band.
Sold. I'm in.
One of the members is canonically queer. The rest of the members, you know, they're in an all women's punk band. So like, even if they're not canonically queer, like you're a little queer. And it's awesome. They fucking rock.
So incredible.
Great suggestion. I just want to let you know I have seen it and I do love it too.
And I'm going to check it out. And thank you for emailing us. We loved it. We love getting to hear this stuff.
Also on our Instagram, I also want to shout out jamie.rose.z, who we posted something about brunettes and blondes. And they said, what about us gingers? And I agree. What about us gingerously?
How reductive of us.
So rude. But I agree, but I'm like, yes, here for the gingers. Also here for Lee's ridiculous commentary on her Instagram. What did you say? Gingers are the fiery hot Cheetos of women?
Of women flavors, yeah.
Perfect.
You know, when you need a little spice.
Yeah.
When you need a little spicy woman. That's all.
Go for that ginger. We are spicy.
Listen, no one should leave me in charge of our social media. Yes. Anyways, we would also, as always, like to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
AD Benitez,
Fiona W,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much for your support. We truly could not continue to make the show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all of the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also are posting videos on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and ridiculous Instagram comments by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you'd like to help support the podcast, the first thing you can do, it's easy, it's free. You can leave us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. We have all kinds of bonus episodes. We have 7 right now so far. You can get ad-free episodes. You get access to our Les Essentials watch parties. We have one coming up for Summerland, which we will let you know about. And you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, we have all of our designs you can get on all sorts of things like t-shirts and tank tops and sweatshirts and tote bags and all sorts of good stuff. You can find all of our designs on our TeePublic at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website at dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals like our next show, Journey to the Heart, which we are well into recording sessions and production on, you can get some updates on some of the stuff we've been working on. You can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.